The Leelanau County Administrator is on paid leave. We have details on the complaint that put him there. This is the Up North Lowdown from Interlochen Public Radio. I'm Ed Ronco. Jim Dyer has been the Leelanau County Administrator since the spring of 2025. And in that time, there have been concerns about a perceived conflict of interest and complaints lodged by county staff. There's been a lot of turnover as well. And earlier this month, the Leelanau County Board of Commissioners placed Administrator Dyer on paid leave, citing an investigation into complaints. The commissioners have not really made details of the complaint public, but IPR has obtained a copy of it through the Freedom of Information Act. And IPR's Maxwell Howard has taken a look. We spoke about some of the details.
So it's about 10 pages long. It's filed by the current finance director, Rio Risbridger, who was brought in after they had a interim finance director because there had been a series of departures out of this department. In that complaint, there's a lot of issues raised. Chiefly, there's a describes a hostile work environment, which echoes complaints that other employees have said as well. In that complaint, they're also saying that it's interfering with the operations of the finance department.
So let's drill down a little bit. Give us an example of one of the situations described in this complaint.
Okay, so one of these would be, Risbridger, she's new to the job. She had worked in the county before, but not in this specific position. She wants some training. There's not an interim finance director still there when she joins. So she goes to the clerk's office to ask for some help. She wants to run that by Jim Dyer, the county administrator, just as a matter of course. And when she runs it by him, she says that he slams his hand on the table and he yelled, "They're not going to effing train you." Later, she adds that he says he shouldn't have said that. But this is just one of a few complaints that she has in here.
How soon after this complaint was filed did the Board of Commissioners put Jim Dyer on paid leave?
So it was filed June 5th. The paid leave was announced in a Board of Commissioners meeting on the 9th. So just really a couple of days. And I think the thing that is interesting about, this meeting where they announced it was they really did not say why. I mean, this is kind of the first glimpse into why exactly they're now doing an investigation into this complaint.
There was a previous complaint. We know that Dyer was cleared of wrongdoing in that incident. What happens now with this complaint?
Well, so it's much of the same process. So the county has their own legal counsel. That legal counsel investigated this last complaint from the last finance director who was later terminated. They said that, Dyer was exonerated. And now it's going to be that same process with the same legal counsel.
Looking into the specific allegations and conducting that investigation there.
Yes, exactly.
Max, thank you.
Of course.
IPR reached out to Jim Dyer by email, but did not hear back in time for today's story. Public comment at last night's Board of Commissioners meeting in Leelanau County largely centered around this issue. Sheriff Michael Borkovich defended Dyer, saying his department has always had great interactions with the administrator, and he urged the board to reinstate him as soon as possible.
And I'm speaking from my own perspective as sheriff. We've been through a lot of administrators. We've been through a lot of personnel in the 14 years I've been sheriff. And working with Administrator Dyer has been straightforward, honest, and I feel like I can ask him a lot of questions based on his prior experience, what worked in Calhoun County, what works in Ingham County, and other larger venues downstate.
But Cleveland Township resident Kim Rosansky said she and others are tired of the turbulence in county government.
The county has spent much of the last year replacing people, transferring knowledge, training new staff, and rebuilding departments. At some point, stability itself should be a priority. As you evaluate the current situation, I hope you focus not only on individual allegations, but also on the broader pattern and the overall results. Residents deserve answers.
Other commenters last night reflected that same sentiment. You can read more about this story, including the entire complaint obtained by IPR, on our website, iprnews.org. It's time for Grow and Tell, our occasional chat about all things gardening with Dylan Kulik, Assistant Director of Sustainability at Interlaken Center for the Arts. Dylan, hey.
Hi.
Welcome back.
Thank you. Thank you. It's great to be back.
It is a good time to put in rhubarb.
This is true.
How do I get rhubarb? Is it a start? Is it seeds? What do I do?
You're not going to see it on the racks with the tomatoes and the parsleys that you see at big stores. However, you may find yourself a stash of rhubarb seeds. And this year was an especially prolific year for seed production. You can also buy some seeds online. But I'd like to make that clear to listeners is growing rhubarb from seeds is quite easy and quite rewarding. It just takes some patience.
So you might not have harvestable, edible rhubarb for how long?
It could be probably 2 to 3 years. But once you pass that and you have those rhubarbs established in your garden, they will be extremely bountiful. 4 or 5 years from now, you'll have enough rhubarb to satisfy the entire neighborhood.
And before a listener thinks, well, why bother? I mean, the good news is you can get that instant gratification because chances are someone you know is growing rhubarb and has way too much of it.
Yes, that's right. This is where you can do a little bit of community foraging to meet somebody who has an abundance or maybe a farm organization. I know the Seeds Farm over at Historic Barnes Park has like a 19-foot wide rhubarb. It's enormous. And this is what we have to look forward to once we start our own rhubarb patches.
We're going to talk food applications in a minute, but let's do just a dash of science. Why does rhubarb do so well here? What is it about northern Michigan?
Great question. I believe that the sandy soils are quite favorable for the growth of this plant, which has a very deep root. It also doesn't like to be left in a puddle. So very well-draining soils lead to a puddle-free existence.
Let's get down to brass tacks and talk about eating rhubarb.
Yes.
What do you do with rhubarb? What's your favorite application here?
Rhubarb for me is sort of the champion of the fruit crisp. So I did this whole experimentation last fall where we were taking any old fruit and putting it with an equal amount of rhubarb and putting just this general purpose crisp topping on top and baking it. Very low effort. I think we even used our toaster to bake it. That's
really
how easy it was. Yeah, we're just like, ah, you know, what are we throwing in the toaster tonight? We got blueberries and rhubarb.
Like a toaster oven.
For sure. Yeah. This is kind of like your one mug brownie, but it's just like some chopped rhubarb and a handful of berries and some crisp topping.
So a fruit crisp, a rhubarb fruit crisp. Give me the sensory experience here. Smell, texture, taste.
Yes. So I do like to put a bit of cinnamon in that crisp topping. So you'll be drawn to a bakery style aroma of butter and oats and cinnamon from the crisp topping, and then the lovely sort of tartness that comes from the rhubarb itself will start to hit you right when you pull it out of the oven and into the moment of getting it on your spoon. And then when you actually taste it, that rhubarb tartness and sort of sweet balancing capacity is just so good. Comes from the rhubarb, and then it can pair with any other fruit so well. Michigan, we have an abundance of fruit during certain punctuated times of the year.
Yeah.
Cherries, peaches, those are going to come through 30 pounds at a time, bushels and bushels. Apples, we'll have those coming. Blueberries. So when this happens, I encourage listeners to be ready with some freezer rhubarb that you can chop up and put in your fruit crisp so that it's a little bit more diverse and you get that delicious tart character from the rhubarb in addition to whatever else you're baking.
Have you yet to find a dud, a bad pairing with rhubarb?
Oh, well, I would say that things got a bit weird when we had pineapple in the fruit crisp. I think it was like a honeydew pineapple rhubarb crisp, which initially,
didn't quite.
Yeah, I think if you have tartness of a pineapple, for example, that doesn't necessarily synergize with the tartness existing in the rhubarb.
You will, I assume, be willing to share this crisp recipe with
Absolutely.
Our listeners?
Yes. And what I do is just have a jar of oats, sugar, and flavoring, cinnamon and whatnot. That's all ready to go. And you just put some butter on it. And then you have your fruit that you're adding sort of as you get it.
And you're in business.
That's right.
Yeah. Dylan, thank you.
Certainly. Thank you.
Dylan Kulik with Grow and Tell, our occasional chat about all things gardening. We'll have his recipe online at iprnews.org. That's the Up North Lowdown for this Wednesday, June 17th. I'm Ed Ronco. Thanks for listening.
Support for Interlochen Public Radio is provided by you and by Comfort Keepers. For over 20 years, Comfort Keepers have been providing in-home care services and keeping seniors living independently in the comfort of their own home. Learn more at ComfortKeepers.com.